Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I'll probably be quick tonight. The payment did come out of my checking account, so I think my wife will have it Tuesday, latest Wednesday. I hope she gets the message. $19.90 was the amount, and previous amounts have been $519, indicating May 19th, 1990, the day we got married, the day we became one. And marriage begins with sex, and it's with death. And we had sex that night. Romans 7, you know, easy thing. I'm alive. She's my wife. Very simple. Other thing is, I watched a couple things today, you know, what I do want to eat. And there was a thing about the Mozart group, which apparently, has made a little bit of news because, you know, there's the Wagner group out of Russia, who is apparently has quite a reputation of being extremely successful. They're the one who's been the spearhead at, the effort to take, Bakhmut, which is, a major crossroads city. It's in the Donbass, and they've been devastating, the Ukrainian troops there. You know, again, it's apparently about a 10-to-1 ratio on the kill list. They've established a very good reputation. They're frequently, what I see some people saying, well, they're made from prisoners and this kind of thing and whatnot. And, you know, that's bad when somebody else does it, you know, because apparently, a lot of times people say, okay, you're in prison for this, that, or the other. And, you can get out of prison and be part of this group to serve time. This has been done. This is kind of like the French Foreign Legion of years ago had similar terms. And we have in the U.S. actually, these kind of programs. It's not that you take the murderers and whatnot. You take the, you know, but then in the U.S., we had the Blackwater group of years ago. They ended up with some reputation issues. So they got renamed. Blackwater? Yeah, I think it's Blackwater. They got renamed to something else. But basically the same thing because their reputation was so tarnished. Now we have what's called the Mozart Group in the U.S. And it's named as to be a competitor of the Wagner Group. The guy who runs it did an interview apparently drinking a lot of whiskey at the time and so forth, and said a lot of things that were did not go over well, and so that has tarnished the group. Plus, there is some reputation issues. So you have these three private mercenary type armies, and there is ours are good and yours are bad kind of thing. You do see that happening, and I find that really fascinating. In all cases, whether it's Blackwater, Wagner, or Mozart, they do better than the professional military constantly. In all cases, there's motivation. But you know, that part is true. But I do find the interesting how our groups are good, your groups are bad. We're the same kind of groups, which is a problem. But one of the other things that has become more to light in this process, because I'm seeing a lot more of it, is the idea of collective punishment. It's being talked about a lot right now in Israel, if you're Palestinian, you're going to be punished. It's the idea of if a member of your family has done something that we don't like, because you know we've been devastated. You know the Israeli government has been doing some rather foul things to the Palestinian people. You know, in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, and so forth. So it's caused friction, and when somebody responds inappropriately, but still they respond with violence, they don't respond to that individual. They respond to the family and the community. It's collective punishment. There's been a little bit of controversy over this. However, the other place it's happening big time in similar respects is in Ukraine. And there is the collective punishment thing, but there's also the turn in your neighbor. You know, if you go to, there's the Donbass, which is Lugansk and Donetsk. And then there's, Mariupol and Kherson, the other two provinces or whatever they call them, regions. So those four regions are the ones that voted to become part of Russia, and Russia says they're ours. So obviously some people don't say that, the people there and so forth. But in Kherson, the part that's the furthest west, there's the Dnipro River. That's the major river that kind of splits the country. And it kind of is a big dividing line in the Kherson region. And what forms, as they call it, the land bridge between Crimea and Russia, especially the four new provinces that Russia now claims, is on the eastern side or south side, depending upon where you are, of the Dnipro River. There's a major city. You know, this is the Kherson region. There's Kherson, the city, that is on the other side of the river. And what happened was, is you they captured this whole big area, and a whole lot of the people, because it's harder to defend on the other side of the river, because where the Russians are is on the southeast part. So the majority of that region they have, but it was hard to defend that one part. So what they did is withdrew. And of course, they took a lot of people with them. You know, it's kind of like, you want to be part of Russia? Come. Come to the other side of the river. Because it is not worth, at this point, defending that area because of a lot of reasons. So what they did is they withdrew, and this was obviously something that the Ukrainians did with a lot of PR. Look, we defeated the Russians in this area, and but the issue is the Russians withdrew, and they're still sending in it's still a problem for Ukraine, but the issue is. During the time where Russia was there, a lot of the people who were pro-Ukrainian left for the other parts of the Ukraine. And of course, as the Russians withdrew, the pro-Russian, most of them left with the Russians. So you have a higher percentage of people who are pro-Ukrainian still left in that city. So obviously they're the ones saying, yay, we got our city back. But now there are billboards, big signs around the city. You know someone who cooperated with the Russians? Turn them in. Report them. I mean, big signs. And what they do is if they get you, they're going to get you, and they're not going to treat you well. This has been quite clear. And, this is done... All over, done throughout history and so forth. The issue is we have more techniques how to do that now. So I saw that with the turn in your neighbor stuff. We have the, in the U.S., it was in the U.K. and in Israel where it was turn in your neighbor who's not wearing a mask. Some places in the U.S., the same kind of thing occurred, turning your neighbor who was not doing the appropriate social distancing or things of that nature. That was here. It wasn't as strong, but it was here. And my concern is there's a whole lot of effort, obviously, to use technology to do this. So you don't have to turn in your neighbor. We're watching your neighbor. And when you see these things where what happens when somebody gets turned in, take that and look at your cell phone turning you in. And See, that's my concern. And of course, my concern, especially for the next generation, because the next generation are my kids. There is so much. I've got to have that cell phone because I have this cool feature, because I'm addicted to Facebook, I'm addicted to Twitter, I'm addicted to whatever. TikTok now, I guess, is the big thing. They got you by the bits. And it's really, really concerns me, because what they do is they give you the dopamine hit and they track everything you do. And this is why I say, especially to the Christian community, you know, the shofar book idea started initially with the idea of a way for, someone who reads the Quran and says, yes, I believe this is true, to be able to say, oh, well, let me look at the Bible and compare. But the understanding was, if you do that and you're in a country, you know, most notably Saudi Arabia, and say, oh, no, I was wrong. It's not the Quran. The Bible is true. It'll cost you your life. So how do you protect those people? And, you know, that was kind of a lot of the impetus. There's been other things that I've been working. I played last weekend. It was marvelous. But anyway, but the other aspect is that that's going to be here in the U.S. because people use the cell phone. That's where their Bible is. Or they gather together somebody's house. They go to an institutional church and whatnot. And they don't call anybody. But they're physically tracked. And because of the fact you're physically tracked, and it's known that you're the ones who visits this particular institutional church, it doesn't matter which church it is. It's just you have the addresses of all the churches in the country, and you have the information of who's there. And you say, okay, here's a list of, you know, 300 million people, 250, whatever, millions of people, and on their cell phone, and this particular group are the groups that show up at these institutional churches. And the ones that we see them, and we see them gather in together somewhere, it doesn't matter where it is, it's just that they gather together, especially when they're not the same family, and they gather together another place throughout the week, they're probably more serious. Sick them. That's exactly what will happen. And it won't be, at least initially, it won't be somebody knocking on your door. It's your credit score kind of thing goes down. It's not as assertive as like in China where you can't get on a train or plane. But those kind of things will transpire and to increase. Obviously, we saw that this in a very real sense with the trucker event in Canada last year, where they went after those people, seized bank accounts, put people in jail and whatnot. We see that in the U.S. with the January 6th event, and there are a whole bunch of people, something like 200, still in prison today because of that. So you say, okay, what we see is the mechanics are in place. What is the most offensive group there is? The follower of Christ. If you're part of the state, if you want power, the people you want to get rid of are the people who have an allegiance beyond you, beyond the authority of the state, the institution. So you go get them. You cause them trouble. They'll have to be able to go. You'll go to them and say, Kaiser Kuyas. Caesar is Lord. Somebody did a video about that a while back. And if you don't, you're going to be executed. Initially, it won't be execution. But that'll come. It's picking up speed. And so the question is, as it's picking up speed and the demise of the West is happening, will it mean that the speed will increase because we need a boogeyman? If we had the boogeyman of Russia, we have the boogeyman coming up of China, somebody in Africa, somebody in South America, whatever. Well, they're the domestic terrorists. Those who believe that it's only men and women. Why do they do that? They're followers of Christ. Those that believe that homosexuality is a sin. Why do they believe that? Oh, they're followers of Christ. Those that believe it's important to love and their allegiance is to our Creator instead of the state, they're going to be one of the most offensive groups there is. History has demonstrated that. I want to pick out some and bless them somehow. I hope it includes my kids. But that is why I'm funded for about 6 months. It is my sole focus for the next 6 months to put the tools together. Once it was clear the funding was there, I said, all right, there are a whole bunch of things that were pushed off literally for years in order to make it a complete thing that I could deliver and hand off and to get rid of some we might call stability issues or distribution issues. So I said, all right, I'm going to spend the week that ended today, and kind of play with all three of those, put an idea on the table and do some experimenting. One was kind of, okay, there's a quick experiment. Okay, I know what to do. It's just there's going to take some time to do it. The second one, I got a little further. I actually got more of the framework in place. Kind of like, okay, I need to dwell on it a bit. The third one, there's a minor bug, but it's operational. It's kind of like, whoa, that was quick. It surprised me. I am intensely pleased. It's one of those real low-level things that, you know, one out of 100,000 will ever know about. But it is a fundamental issue. And it got working today. And I was so delighted. So, over the weekend, Monday, whatever, do a little tidying on that and call that done, and I'm down to two issues. And they're not operational in the sense that obviously it works, but that encourages me. So I have that done, and I'll probably shift back to get my email list working, because obviously that got delayed yet again. But I'm grateful. My stability is, I can focus. I'm going to be looking for a cheap notebook computer so I have something to back things up and get a new desktop, because I have the resources for that. Because, you know, I have a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old computer. It's time. And I have to be very careful, because I am being very careful about my funds. I want to stretch the funds for the 6 months without hesitation. And, you know, obviously before those 6 months are up, I hope that I will be developing income from Shofar Nexus. But I have time now to do that well. So I'm grateful for that. And that's, you know, obviously part of the reasons why I made the 1990 payment to my wife, like the 519 payments, to remind my wife of May 19th, 1990. I hope she gets the message. See, I love that lady. I'm doing what I can because it's what I know. I'm doing what I can to be a blessing to the next generation because I have kids who are part of the next generation. I haven't seen them in a decade. My love for them is unwavering. I'm going to, as the Lord allows, I'm going to press on. And it looks like the Lord is allowing. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.